بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I begin. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah, the Most High, from the evils of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomever He leads astray cannot be guided. I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, without a partner or associate. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's slave and messenger. May Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also be granted to the Prophet's pure family and to all of his noble companions. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O who you believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except on a state of Islam. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Rabb Allah, who created you from a single person, Adam, and from him, Adam, he created his wife Eve, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut the sea or sever the relations of wombs, the kinship. Surely Allah is ever all watcher over you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O who you believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great success. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. To proceed, the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that the worst of evils are the muhdathat, the newly invented matters in the deen, in the religion. And every innovated matter in the deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a dalala, and every dalala misguidance is in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on the believers many favors, and the greatest favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the believers is sending the revelation and sending the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala Allah ta'ala in Surah Al-Imran in 3:164, لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. Indeed, Allah conferred a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, from among themselves, reciting unto them this or his verses and purifying them from sins by their following Him and instructing them in the book the Quran and al-hikmah, the wisdom and the sunnah and the legal ways. وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. While before that they had been in manifest error. Many are the verses emphasizing the greatness of the objective of sending the messengers, teaching mankind, guiding them, purifying mankind, delivering them from the darkness of shirk to the light of tawheed, and from the darkness of their despicable, immoral behaviors to the light of iman and manifestation of tawheed, and the happiness of good moral character and noble qualities and justice. The earth before the sending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was filled with injustice, ignorance and kufr, and shirk was prevailing, spread in the lands. Evil also, except on the few whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved from them, and there were few from the people of the book. Most of them died before the sending of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus, when the situation was like that, Allah's mercy descended on mankind and His clemency, sending to them this great Messenger, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, at times of dear need for his prophethood and messengership. So Allah sent him with the most glorious and most noble book, and most glorious and most noble message, and most comprehensive one, saving in that the Ummah, delivering the people from the darkness to the light, from misguidance to guidance, from tyranny and injustice to justice and the true freedom. The freedom directed by Allah, the All-Knowing, for that which benefits man, not the so-called freedom without any limitations or beneficial restrictions, which in fact is chaotic. Allah sent him to call mankind to turn to their Creator, and sent him also to establish proofs and evidences that this is the benefit for mankind, and this is the upright path that leads to Allah. He continued to do the da'wah, calling the people for that while in Mecca. And so those who accepted Islam with him in Mecca did the same thing, each in accordance with his capability and his ability. Sometimes openly, most of the times secretly in the very beginning, as it is known. 13 years he stayed in Mecca, working, giving glad tidings and warnings, guiding people to all that which is good, reciting to them the noble Quran, calling them to the best of noble characters and best of deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command him to fight them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command him to fight them. rather to call them in the beginning without a fight, rather direction, directing them to the truth and to the nobility of character, warning with good words those who oppose, and with good arguments in good ways, as Allah commanded him in Surah An-Nahl 16:125, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. Invite mankind, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to the way of your Lord, meaning to Islam, with wisdom and fair preaching, and argue with them in a way that is better. Truly, your Lord Allah knows best who has gone astray from this path, and He is the best aware of those who are guided. وقال جل وعلا, and He commanded him to فصفح الصفح الجميل, in Surah Al-Hijr 15:85. فاصفح الصفح الجميل. So overlook, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, their faults with a gracious forgiveness. So this was in the beginning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in Surah Al-Muzzammil in 39:10, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. سورة المزمل 39. With what they say, and keep away from them in a good way. وقال سبحانه in Surah Al-Hijr 15:94, فاصدع بما تؤمر وأعرض عن المشركين. And therefore proclaim openly the message of Tawheed, that which you are commanded, and turn away from the mushriks. And the like of these verses, where it's clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to overlook and forgive and turn away and to argue with that which is good, and there was no command to fight them, because the situation does not tolerate that, and the Muslims were few, and their enemies were many, and in their hands they had the power and the authority and the means. So from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that Allah forbade the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Muslims from conducting jihad with the hands. وَأَمَرَهُمْ, and He commanded them, بِالْإِكْتِفَاءِ بِالْجِهَادِ بِاللِّسَانِ وَالدَّعْوَةِ, to make jihad with the tongue and the da'wah and the call and the proclamation. وَأَمَرَهُمْ أَنْ يَكُفُوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ, and He called them to restrain from fighting. Allah guided through this proclamation those whom He had guided from the Muslims, like As-Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه, the truthful one, Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, وعمر, the criterion, عمر الفاروق رضي الله تعالى عنهم, may Allah be pleased with them, وعثمان, may Allah be pleased with him, وعلي, may Allah be pleased with him, والزبير بن العوام, may Allah be pleased with him, وسعد بن أبي وقاص, may Allah be pleased with him, وعبد الله بن مسعود, may Allah be pleased with him, وعبد الرحمن بن عوف, may Allah be pleased with him, وسعيد بن زيد, may Allah be pleased with him, وطلحة بن عبيد الله, May Allah be pleased with him and many from the companions. May Allah be pleased with all of them. He was vehemently opposed by his own people, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Muslims who accepted Islam then. Allah knew this. And it would have been easy for Allah to eliminate the mushriks by a single word. قال تعالى in Surah Yasin 36:82, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Single word could have eliminated all the mushriks. Verily his command, when he intends a thing, it is only that he, Allah, says to it, be, and it is. The wisdom, however, was gradualism. The wisdom, however, was gradualism and testing, rather than drastic change. And this is very obvious and clear. So far, in summary, the restriction was to the word, to the proclamation, to preaching with good exhortation, fair preaching, argument with that which is good, providing the evidences and the proofs. And when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, proclaimed the da'wah, proving the futility of their gods which they worshipped besides Allah or to the exclusion of Allah, and directed them to the pure tawheed, that matter was heavy on them. Why? Because they magnified these gods. Not only that, many of them considered that through their worship of these gods they can preserve their status and authority upon the weak. And that's why they used every attempt to protect their gods, and then use all sorts of lies against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes calling him names and heavy insults, sometimes calling him madman or a magician or a liar or a poet, all false insults and labels. And they knew that, they knew well that they don't represent the truth. Meaning those leaders of them knew for sure that they were really telling lies. But listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-An'am in response in 6:33. قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. We know indeed the grief which their lords cause you. It is not that you, that they deny. وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. But it is the verses, the Quran of Allah, that these mushriks deny. So they had no way except just to fix these lies. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to call them. And recite the Quran to them. Few who accepted, as we know. And the rest who rejected, it was because of the status, the authority, haughtiness, envy. It's not that they didn't know the truth. They knew that he was a messenger and he was a truthful one. They used to call him Al-Amin alayhi salatu wasalam, the trustworthy one. But it is transgression, love of leadership and authority, that made many of them reject the truth. And similarly, those great ones from the Romans and the Persians, the truth was known to them, but it is again the authority and leadership and enslavement of people which prevented them from submitting. And that's why when Heraclius, the great of the Romans, asked concerning the qualities of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Abu Sufyan then, and Abu Sufyan knew well the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but he was then a kafir. And when he asked about his qualities, and Abu Sufyan spoke the reality that he knew concerning the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he knew that he was a true messenger and a true prophet. And he called his people, Heraclius called his people. But when he saw them rebelling, not responding, he also turned away from that which he proclaimed. And then he went to the excuse telling them, إِنَّمَا قُلْتُ ذَلِكَ لِأَمْتَحِنَكُمْ وَأَعْرِفَ صَلَابَتَكُمْ فِي دِينِكُمْ. I only said this to test you and to try to see how solid you are in your religion. And he continued on the false religion of his people and his kufr. We seek refuge in Allah from that. And so he preferred the life of this world over the last one. The like of Heraclius are many, driven by transgression and envy and love of leadership. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the former verse, in the verse cited earlier, that the verses of Allah that they deny. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this even very clear in Surah An-Naml. In Surah An-Naml in 27:14, when he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. And they belied them, those signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wrongfully and arrogantly, though their own selves were convinced thereof, that these signs and these proofs are the truth. So see what was the end of those mufsideen, the disbelievers, the liars, the evildoers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of Musa to Fir'aun in Surah Al-Isra 17:102, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنْزَلَ هَؤُلَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَصَائِرٍ. Musa said, verily you know that these signs have been sent down by none but the Lord of the heavens and the earth as clear proofs, evidences, and I think you are indeed, Fir'aun, doomed to destruction. So these kafirs, from their leaders and authority, knew the truth, and they knew that what the messengers brought was the truth. However, they were prevented by their love for authority and enslavement of people and taking away their wealth and their means of sustenance. Because If they would submit, they would be followers. And they don't like that. They like for themselves to be followed. Leaders and authority. But Islam came to correct that. Putting things in their proper perspective. Leaders and ruled, called to be righteous. Their enslavement is only to Allah the Most High. They knew that this deen of Allah is comprehensive, covering everything, eliminating the evil. Calling everyone to be follower of Islam. All ruled and rulers. And that all to be upright on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to govern themselves with Allah, with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. When the harm and the persecution intensified upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions in Mecca, Allah the Most High permitted them, gave them the permission to make hijrah to Habasha, to Abyssinia. So some of the companions left Mecca and migrated to Al-Habasha. When they knew that there could be an accommodation for them in Habasha, which would be less harsh than the situation in Mecca. And then when they were in Habasha, and some news came to them that the mushriks accepted Islam when they prostrated with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam while reciting Surah An-Najm, some of them returned only to find more persecution. And then the permit to migrate again to Al-Habasha. And they stayed there in Habasha until they returned and met the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام عام خيبر, the year of Khaybar. They returned with Ja'far bin Abi Talib رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم. The situation in Mecca was still very tough, and the siege occurred then. The siege in the neighborhood of Abi Talib. Following these intense persecutions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the permit hijrah ila al-Madinah, migration to Medina. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for them the Ansar, the helpers, to help those Ansar from the tribe of Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, when they received the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they met him by Jamrat al-Aqaba in Mina, several times. Then the last time they gave him the allegiance. A group of them gave the allegiance on Islam and to protect the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they protect their wives and their children. And they requested from him to migrate to them, to migrate to Medina. So he agreed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First, he permitted his companions to go. Then he waited for the command of Allah. Then when the command of Allah came to him, he migrated to Medina. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ. To Allah belongs all the praise and the favors. This was his story in Mecca with his companions, calling them, making jihad with da'wah and direction and exhortation and recitation of the Quran. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And make the Quran, with the Quran, have jihad by its recitation and its proofs and evidences. And this is the great jihad. A great jihad. So when the matter now settled in Medina, and with the Ansar around him, the helpers, and the Muhajirin, والمهاجرون, and the immigrants who came from Mecca with him, from the companions, he continued the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proclaiming the guidance. Thereafter, Allah the Most High gave the permission to the Prophet ﷺ and to his companions to fight and to make jihad. So in the very beginning, therefore, the permit came legalizing the fight and jihad. And this is stated in Surah Al-Hajj in 22:39. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Permission to fight is given to those believers against the disbelievers. Permission to fight is given to those against whom war is waged. Because they have been wronged and oppressed. And Allah indeed has power to help them. And this ayah, this verse from Surah Al-Hajj, gave a divine permission to the believers to fight the the infidels, the mushriks, after the evidence was established against the mushriks who drove the believers out of their homes because of their faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that were the believers not to fight the mushriks, the mushriks would have destroyed places of worship, and corruption would have prevailed on earth. And therefore, the wisdom here and the purpose of this legalization of jihad was not to retrieve what the mushriks plundered from the believers. We know that the believers gave up their properties when they immigrated to Medina for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without even thinking of going back someday to Mecca to retrieve what they had left. Rather, they fought in the cause of Allah to keep the word of Allah prevailing. So, to illustrate so far, that the permission had been given now at this stage to fight, then after that it turned from a permission to an obligation. As we will discuss even further, فرض الله ذلك سبحانه وتعالى and made it واجب. He obligated it and made it a fard in سورة البقرة in chapter 2 verse 216. كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم. Now it became an obligation. Jihad is ordained for you, though you dislike it. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you, and Allah knows what you don't know. And then many verses came to this effect, inciting the believers on jihad. So in the beginning it was permitted, then it became an obligation on, as a collective duty, على الكفاية. And it may be an individual duty if necessitated by certain conditions. For example, if the Imam calls for it, or Muslims go under siege, or when the two parties meet, the believers and the non-believers, it becomes an individual duty, fardu ayn. And as we discussed earlier in the hadith, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ, I have been commanded to fight people until they testify that لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. When we say it becomes an individual duty, it does not mean it becomes an individual duty on every and each person. And with all these cases, the jihad has its own conditions, and from the greatest conditions of the jihad is the ability, as we will discuss later inshallah ta'ala. But this is only just an introduction highlighting some of the things. So in the very beginning, therefore, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fight إذا رأى مصلحة, if he would find a benefit therein,
ويكف إذا رأى المصلحة في الترك. And he would refrain if he sees that the benefit is through refrainment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to fight those who fight him and to refrain from those who refrain. And this is illustrated in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:190. قال الله تعالى وقاتلوا في سبيل الله الذين يقاتلونكم ولا تعتدوا إن الله لا يحب المعتدين. And fight in the way of Allah those who fight you, but transgress not the limits. Some of the Salaf rahimahumullah said concerning this verse, إِنَّهُ أَمَرَ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ بِقِتَالِ مَنْ قَاتَلَهُ وَالْكَفْ عَمَّنْ كَفَّ عَنْهُ. He commanded him in this ayah to fight those who fight him and to refrain from those who refrain. Others from the Salaf rahimahumullah ajma'in said in this ayah, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ لَيْسَ فِيهَا مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى هَذَا الْمَعْنَى وَإِنَّمَا فِيهَا أَنَّهُ أَمَرَ بِالْقِتَالِ للذين يقاتلون أي من شأنهم أن يقاتلوا ويصدوا عن سبيل الله من الرجال المكلفين القادرين على القتال بخلاف الذين ليس لهم من القتال شيء كالنساء والصبيان والرهبان والعميان إلى آخره فإنهم لا يقاتلون لأنهم ليسوا من أهل القتال. Others from the Salaf said رحمهم الله that this ayah means that Allah permitted him to fight those who fight him from those who are able to fight, like the men and the like, but not the women, the children, and the monks, and the blind ones, and the crippled, and the like. Then the third stage of jihad came afterwards, and that is al-qital is open حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين كله لله, as in Surah Al-Anfal 39:8-39. The third stage, and fight them until there is no more fitna, and the fitna here means shirk, and fight them until there is no more fitna, and the religion, the deen, worship will be for Allah alone. But if they cease, then certainly Allah is all seer of what they do. Meaning, lest people make fitna for each other to turn them from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay on shirk. And similarly all the verses of jihad was then at this stage emphasizing the objective. And that this is the objective now, and that, as we know, the matter for declaring this jihad is still dependent upon the conditions and the benefits and as seen by the Muslim Imam. Now, then came the verse similarly in Ayat al-Saif in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 5. At-Tawbah, verse 5, chapter 9, verse 5. قال الله تعالى فإذا انسلخ الأشهر الحرم فاقتلوا المشركين حيث وجدتموهم وخذوهم واحصروهم واقعدوا لهم كل مرصد فإن تابوا وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فخلوا سبيلهم إن الله غفور رحيم. Now it's over. The mushriks have been given ample respite. So then when the sacred months, which is the 1st, the 7th, and the 11th, and the 12th months of the Islamic calendar, they have passed, then Allah permitted to fight them and to kill these mushriks, obstinate ones. Then kill the mushriks wherever you find them, and capture them, and besiege them, and prepare for them each and every ambush, because they had exceeded all the limits. But if they repent and perform the salah and give the zakah, then leave their way free. Verily Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Because there is now a greater benefit. These obstacles have to be removed. Some of the ulama, remember the stages now of jihad earlier which we spoke about? The turning away, the forgiveness, the pardoning, and then the permission to make jihad, and then the final form of it now, the general jihad. Some of the ulama, rahimahullah, said that this ayah, this is called the verse of the sword, ayah to save, nasikha li jami'i al-ayat, abrogates all the verses of pardoning and refraining. And to fight only those who fight us, they said this verse totally abrogates all the verses. And this is ayah to save, wa hiya ayatul qital, together with those from Surah Al-Anfal. This is what is mentioned by some of the scholars of tafsir and other than the tafsir. And the like of this verse, as we mentioned earlier, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ, and fight them that there is no more fitna and that the deen is for Allah totally. And as in Surah Bara'a also, وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّ, and fight all the mushriks, كَمَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ كَافَّ, as they fight you. All, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, and know that verily Allah is with the muttaqeen, the pious. And قاتلوا الذين لا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر, and fight those who don't believe in Allah and the last day. The ayah of jizya, the ayah of tax on those who don't accept Islam. And that, they said, this covers all, whether from the people of the book or all mushriks. And others from the scholars said, no, this is the ayah of jizya, the ayah of tax, covers only Ahl al-Kitab and the like them from the Magians. However, those who are not from the people of fighting, like women, children, blind one, insane, monks, then, and those who cannot fight, and the elderly, according to the majority of the scholars, they are not to be fought. And some of the people of knowledge even mentioned ijma', consensus, not to kill the woman, the children, And the Prophet ﷺ, it is affirmed that he forbade the killing of men and children, as in authentic narrations, and also the monks and the elderly and the like. On the other hand, some of the Nobel scholars as well mentioned that this ayah to safe, this ayah of the sword, ليست ناسخة ولكن الأحوال تختلف. That this verse of Tawbah, verse 5, the ayah of the sword, is not abrogating. ولكن الأحوال تختلف, however conditions may vary. And similarly, all the other verses of declaring the openness of jihad. And that it is also not abrogating of the verse, لا إكراه في الدين. And not abrogating that of the verse, there is no compulsion in religion. Because we already explained what it means, no compulsion in religion. The compulsion, there is no compulsion in religion because the matter is clear. The deen is so clear that it's only an obstinate who rejects it. This is the meaning of this verse. And as our Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, that the fighting was ordained on the Muslims, and to fight the mushriks, so that the word of Allah be prevailing, not shirk. Either by them accepting Islam, or paying the tax in humility, in humiliation. قال رحمه الله نحن لا نكرههم على الإسلام. We don't force them and compel them upon Islam. لا نقول لا بد أن تسلموا. We don't tell them you must be Muslims. ولكن نقول, rather we say لا بد أن يكون الإسلام ظاهر. It's inevitable that Islam is to be prevalent. إذن, so either you accept Islam and وحياكم الله and you are most welcome, وإما أن الله يعني you have received the greeting of Allah, وإما أن تبقوا على دينكم, or that you stay on your deen, ولكن you have to pay the tax, because this is the might of Islam, this is part of the prevalence of Islam. Then if they don't accept the Islam and they refuse to pay the jizya, then وجب علينا قتالهم, then it becomes inevitable that an obligation to fight them. And this is when ability is there, when conditions of jihad are met. So therefore, some of the scholars said, as you know now, that this verse of ayah to safe, Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 5, and the others, is not abrogating to these verses of pardoning and fighting only those who fight us and all of this, because conditions may differ. They said, if the Muslims are strong and they have the reverence and the authority on the land, they use the saif, they use ayat al-saif, they utilize the verse of 9:5 and all the other verses similar to it in meaning, and they fight all the kafirs until they enter the fold of the deen of Allah or pay the tax. And when the Muslims are weak, وَإِذَا ضَعُفَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَلَمْ يَقُوا عَلَى الْقِتَالِ, and they are unable to fight all the kafirs, فَلَا بَأْسَ أَن يُقَاتِلُوا بِحَسَبِ قُدْرَتِهِمْ, then it's okay for them to fight in accordance with their ability, and to refrain from those whom they decide to refrain against, or refrain from those who refrain from us. فَيَكُونَ الْأَمْرُ, listen to this, إِلَى وَلِيِّ الْأَمْرُ, then the affair rests with the Muslim leader in charge. إِنْ شَاءَ قَاتَلْ, if he sees fit, he goes for the fight. وَإِنْ شَاءَ كَثْ, and if he sees otherwise, he refrains. And وَإِنْ شَاءَ قَاتَلَ قَوْمًا دُونَ قَوْمٍ عَلَى حَسَبِ الْقُوَّةِ وَالْقُدْرَةِ وَالْمَصْلَحَةِ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and if he sees to fight some but not others in accordance with his ability and what he sees to be a benefit for the Muslims, لَا عَلَى حِسَابِ هَوَاهُ وَشَهْوَتِهِ, but not in accordance with his own whims and desires, لَكِنْ يَنْظُرْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ وَيَنْظُرْ لِحَالِهِمْ وَقُوَّتِهِمْ, rather he checks for the benefit of the Muslims and he checks their ability and their conditions. فَإِنْ ضَعُفَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ, Allahu Akbar, and if the Muslims are weak, اسْتَعْمَلَ الْآيَاتِ الْمَكِّيَّةِ, he uses the Meccan verses which we have discussed so far. Why? They said, لِمَا فِي الْآيَاتِ الْمَكِّيَّةِ مِنَ الدَّعْوَةِ وَالْبَيَانِ وَالْإِرْشَادِ وَالْكَفِّ عَنِ الْقِتَالِ عِنْدَ الضَّعْفِ, because in these Meccan verses of pardoning, forgiving, turning away, you know, all of these, because of the da'wah and the clarification and guidance and refraining from fighting when in a state of weakness. وَإِذَا قَوِيَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ, and when the Muslims become strong, قَاتَلُوا حَسْبَ الْقُدْرَةِ, they fight in accordance with their degree of strength. فَيُقَاتِلُونَ مَنْ بَدَأَهُمْ بِالْقِتَالِ, and thus they fight those who initiate fighting against them. وَقَصَدَهُمْ فِي بِلَادِهِمْ, and may have directed and targeted them in their lands. وَيَكُفُّونَ عَمَّنْ كَفَّ عَنْهُمْ, and refrain from those who may refrain from fighting them. فَيَنْظُرُونَ فِي الْمَصْلَحَةِ, and thus they look in accordance with the benefit. الَّتِي تَقْتَضِيهَا قَوَاعِدُ الْإِسْلَامِ, entailed by the basic foundations of Islam. وَتَقْتَضِيهَا الرَّحْمَةُ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and as the entailed by mercy, having mercy upon the Muslims. وَالنَّظَرُ فِي الْعَوَاقِبِ, and having far sight as to the consequences. كَمَا فَعَلَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had done in Mecca and in Medina at the very early time of his hijrah. وَإِذَا صَارَ عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ وَالسُّلْطَانِ وَالْقُدْرَةِ وَالسِّلَاحِ, and if they acquired the strength and the ability and the authority and the might and the weapons, whereby مَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ بِهِ قِتَالَ جَمِيعِ الْكُفَّارِ, whereby they are able to fight all the kafirs, then they declare it, as the Sahaba did in the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, and as when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم did it in his life after the revelation of Ayat al-Saif, verse 9, verse chapter 9 verse 5, the verse of the sword, and then وتوجه إلى تبوك, and he went marching to Tabuk to fight the Romans, and before he sent the Jaysh of Mu'tah, the army of Mu'tah, to Qutal, to fight the Romans in the year 8 after Hijrah, and he prepared the army of Usama before he died صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا القول, listen, وهذا القول, this saying, ذكره أبو العباس شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى, and he chose it, all what we have mentioned now, that this, the jihad in accordance with the conditions, how it varies, is the saying of شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله قال, he said, إنه ليس هناك نسخ, there is no abrogation of the earlier verses, ولكنه اختلاف في الأحوال, rather this is a change in accordance with the conditions, لأن أمر المسلمين في أول الأمر, because the matter of the Muslims in the very beginning ليس بالقوي, it wasn't really that strong, وليس عندهم قدرة كاملة, I didn't have the complete ability, فأذن لهم في القتال لمن قاتلهم فقط, so Allah gave them permit to fight those who fight them only, ولما كان عندهم من القدرة بعد الهجرة, and when they acquired the strength after هجرة, the strength capable making the strength which enabled them ما يستطيعون به الدفاع, which enabled them to defend themselves, أمروا بقتال من قاتلهم وبالكف عن من كف عنهم, they were commanded to fight those who fight them and then to refrain from those who refrain from fighting them. فلما قوي الإسلام, and when Islam became strong, وقوي أهله, and its people became strong, and Islam dissipated, وانتشر المسلمون, and Muslims dissipated in the land, and many people entered in groups in the deen of Allah, Allah then أمروا بقتال جميع الكفار, Allah ordained upon them to fight all the kafirs, ونبذ العهود, and then end up all the covenants, and that they must not stop unless they pay the jizya from the Jews and the Christians and the Magians, and if they pay that, then they will be refrained from fighting them. So وهذا القول, this saying of Shaykh al-Islam, اختاره جمع من أهل العلم, a group of the scholars have adopted it, واختاره الحافظ ابن كثير, and it was the choice of Ibn Kathir رحمه الله when he explained in his tafsir. Then الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله said, وهذا القول and this saying أظهر وأبين في الدليل, it says this saying is clear and most fitting to the دليل, in conformity with the دليل, with the evidence, لأن القاعدة الأصولية, because there is a fundamental matter in Islam, and that is لا يصار إلى النسخ, not to resort to conclude abrogation إلا عند تعذر الجمع بين الأدلة, when it is difficult to reconcile the evidences, and in this case والجمع هنا غير متعذر, and reconciling the differences here, it's not something يعني impossible, rather it is possible as you can see, and therefore, and this is the correct opinion, that there is no abrogation, that the situation revolves around the conditions of the Muslims at any time, and therefore it is the choice of the Muslim leader to decide as to which type of jihad he can declare. This is an introduction to this topic on jihad. This is the first lecture, and inshallah ta'ala in the next lectures we will focus upon the following points. The ruling on jihad, الحكم الجهاد, حكم الجهاد, أنواع الجهاد, types of jihad, conditions of jihad. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me success in this and to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبارك الله فيكم.